welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. Pastor Kevin is not here with us today. This is Martita and Stanton, and I'll be the host for today. I am super excited about today because I have such a special person. Oh, my gosh, I don't want to cry. I'm already feeling it. I have my spiritual father with me today, Pastor Dave Ellis.
Thank you, Martita. That's so honoring. Thank you.
You changed my life.
Wow.
And I was hoping not to cry, but here I am. We're starting with a crier. Anyway, I am super excited, and we are a topical discussion here, and I'm super excited to learn something new because he was also my teacher and my boss, my pastor. So you had a lot of hats in my life, and I really want to say thank you for everything.
You're welcome.
And he brought the topic for today, so I'm going to let you have it.
Okay. Well, thank you. For me, it's I get a call. And Martita says, what are you doing on Thursdays? So it's like, well, actually, my wife is on a road trip with three other girls and helping, making a dream come true for a sister in the faith that lives in Australia that always has wanted to travel Route 66. And so they're on the road right now. So it's like, I can come. I'm coming. So I've been chewing on this teaching that's going to resurface again, probably more prevalently in 1999, kind of hit the new millennium again. It resurfaces every now and then and is called Christian Universalism. So let me define what it is real quick, and then we'll kind of leap off into some things. So basically, it's the statement that all human beings will finally be saved. Pretty short, to the point. So then it behooves us to ask questions like, well, does that mean the devil? Does that mean the angels that rebelled? And this is where you get more people that have a broader definition. Some of them want to bring in Lucifer being redeemed, even though Revelation says...
I have to add to that. I know somebody that prays for Satan to be saved constantly.
Wow.
And I thought, where did you get that from?
Yeah, there's definitely not a scripture that says that. There's actually three. One's in Hebrews 10. But specifically in 1 John 5, where it says, there is a sin unto death, and I say, do not pray for that. And the devil has no opportunities for redemption.
Okay.
And proof in point is in the book of Jude, it talks about the angels that rebelled have been locked in a place, a specific location. It's called Tartarus. It's from Greek. It's a Greek word, but Greek mythology had the gods that rebelled against Zeus were thrown into this chamber called Tartarus, and this is where all the gods that fought with each other were thrown, and it's very much a parallel to what took place in the spiritual realm with that rebellion from Genesis 6. Well, I even back up to say Genesis chapter 3, where we see the serpent show up. Mm-hmm. He locked them up. They're in everlasting chains until he says otherwise.
Oh, wow.
And there is no redemption for them. But like I said, there's offshoots of all these different things. And so being more, I'm going to say, touched or hearing stories from people that I know love Jesus that are moving that way and have a position where they're on Facebook, they're quoting different people that have that position, that using verses. Of course, they use some verses, but the challenge is they don't have verses that actually say, once you leave this earth realm, God's going to open another door for you to repent and get into the kingdom. So that's the rub, and they're really struggling. And part of it is they try to stay away from the Old Testament because you see the justice of God, the cost of rebellion, and my Bible says in Hebrews that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So chapter 13 in Hebrews makes that statement. So if it's true in the new, and I'll maybe qualify that statement, Jesus came bringing more. Sermon on the Mount, he says, you have read, but I say unto you. So what he did was he didn't change the commandments of the one that we think about maybe is more obvious is if you look at a woman, I say yes. that you have committed adultery. Within the Jewish community, that was not true. Looking was not guilt.
Oh, okay. So he added
the thought
it.
Life was not included. It was only the action that okay. got you in trouble. So if you lied to someone face to face, then you were guilty of breaking that commandment, thou shalt not lie. But in this case, it was more of a, hey, this is what my father intended. This is what he said. But I want you to know the depth of what that commandment is you
wow.
shall not even go that far in looking because your thought life actually leads you somewhere. So,
yeah, sin usually starts with a thought.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the seed is planted, then we think about it.
Yes.
And then if we water it and we keep letting it grow, eventually mm-hmm. it becomes an action.
It does, absolutely. Which we all can play that out. We have developed habits of what we do in our normal daily routine. Every morning you get up and you do something first.
Yes.
Everybody does. And it's easy to slide into it because we formed a habit.
And then we learned how to justify it by excuses.
Yes.
You know, we excuse this, mm-hmm. we excuse that, and it's...
Yeah.
Or
on the good side. Like the first thing I do, there's people that wake up in the morning and the first thing they think of is Jesus, and they say, thank you, that this is yeah. the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. They do it. I mean, it is automatic.
I say, good morning, Lord.
Yes.
And I go, good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, yep. that's my first thing. And I'm like, I'm so glad I'm with you. And I talk to him the first 5 minutes. I'm just talking to them before I get up.
Yes. Okay. So very much so.
Like I say hello to my husband and I give him a kiss. Good morning. I do that first with the Lord before I even move.
Amen.
And it's just something that has become part of me.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. So maybe springboarding off of that to say part of my concern with universalism is I have seen and have people that I know that have had a spouse divorce their other spouse because of universalism, because yes. of a position that they've taken that everybody's reconciled. And there are more and more books being written about that they use Colossians 1:20, that everybody is going to be reconciled. In fact, I'll even read the last part of it. It says, and through him, he's going to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So they're using verses to justify a position. And most of the time, it's to, I want to say, be in a position to be able to talk to your neighbor. Let's play this scenario. I'm talking to my neighbor and they find out I'm a Christian and they walk up and just say, hey, if I don't believe in Jesus, am I going to hell? So now we have this pressure of how do I respond to that? Because I want to respond with love. Biblically is, yes, you've chosen to reject him.
Mm-hmm.
And by rejecting him, you've rejected your way out of your current condition, and there is no other way. John yes. 14.
Yeah.
He
Which
is the way, the truth, and the life. So now I feel the compromise of do I tell him the truth now or do I work my way into it? So for the person who has embraced a universalist position as a believer is, well, everybody's going to get in. So they will respond with, it's okay. Everybody's going to get in eventually. It's yeah. just where you're at. And that is a lie. That's a flat-out lie.
I want to bring up something you said.
Yes.
You said that they're using pieces of the Bible or pulling things out of the Bible. Isn't it true that almost, if not all of them, false religions and cults use the Bible?
True.
But what they do is they twist words in it to make it what they want it to be.
True.
And it blows me away, but that's actually, hold on one second. I don't know why. I kept reading this verse. Let me see if I have it here.
Come on. I love it.
That kept coming to my mind. And okay. Look at this. 2 Peter 3:15 through 18. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things in all his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. And this will result in their destruction. You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen.
Yes.
That verse kept coming up and coming up and coming up. And I thought, why is this verse coming up? Well, it goes perfect with what you're saying. Because it says they have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do other parts of the Scripture. And they're set up for destruction.
That
blows me away. And that is the proof that so many people will read the Word, but they will pick some verses out or half a verse, take it out of context to prove their point.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why the admonition with Paul to Timothy was, you know, study to show yourself approved, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, proving these things out. So what we do and what God has, I want to say he has taken a huge risk or chance on us pursuing truth.
Yes.
And not accumulating teachers that itch our ears, which in our current culture, we are seeing that on an unprecedented scale. There are, let's say, websites out there. They call them, one of them uses the word heretic. I'm sorry, my mind is not right there. I wasn't thinking about them in particular. But they are reaching out to people that are struggling with what they were taught about Christianity and about Jesus. And their mantra right now currently is it's all about love, but there is no responsibility. There is no justice. Mm-hmm. They love triumphs all. And there's books are, again, being written on an unprecedented scale. And the last started, as one scholar said, basically for our generation, 1999. But it was back in the 70s. It cycled through in the 1940s. And I'll make a reference to a book a little bit later that there is a scholar who has written a book, and it's called, let me find it real quick. Well, I guess I'm doing it right now. It's called The Devil's Redemption. But he picked the title not so that you would believe that he's going to prove that the devil's going to get redeemed. He wrote the title to provoke people to read it because it's not true. So he's edgy that way.
Yeah.
But it's Dr. McClyman. So it's McClymond. And he spent years on this, and he actually, through his own testimony, says, God, by the Holy Spirit, said, I want you to write this book. And he goes, I don't want to write this book. Ended up being two volumes, 1,800 pages, 3,500 references to articles and historical documents. Things that have been written concerning universalism, and it's in the book. I mean, and it's in five languages. It's like, you know, Greek, Latin, English, Spanish, and German. And it's been tasked. So you have a man being tasked with, we have to go after, because the heartbeat of universalism is that it goes after and attacks God himself.
And the deity.
His deity, humanity, who we are and what we really are, Christ, what he paid for. They really water down the sacrifice at Calvary. Don't want to talk about Isaiah 53, Okay. And what he paid for, sin, it's okay. You know, eventually, because you're going to go through this cycle, it's almost like reincarnation. You're going to get another chance. They go after grace. I mean, they water down grace so much that it is no longer grace. It is like God owes us versus us appropriating it because of his great mercy.
So the blood of Jesus loses its power and deity.
Yes.
Because then you don't need the blood of Jesus.
Correct.
To do it. And then also we lose who we are in Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
So we lose our authority and our power.
Yes.
Because if everybody is the same, we don't need any of what the Lord provided for us.
Yes. And two other things that goes after salvation. Why is there salvation, and why would anybody get saved in this life if we're all going to get another chance and there's going to be multiple opportunities for me to accept Jesus? No. But their struggle really is with the picture that's been painted with a hell that's eternal. And the word eternal is used not only for hell. Jesus used it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good reference. That's a good somebody to go back to and go, okay, if Jesus said it, why would I try to water down what Jesus is saying? But he used it for heaven as well, for the word eternal. Same word describing eternal heaven or eternal hell. And so what we end up doing is compromising, defining it anew, using the word love as, I'm going to call it, the entryway to water down the full impact of what it is that you and I have as believers.
They'll use the Bible says that love covers all. So they'll use that, take it out of context again, and say, you see, and it says, oh, but he has already chosen us. Therefore, we will all be saved. Somebody that used to tell me all the time, he goes, God is love. Therefore, because he is love, he will not send anybody to hell because it's not in him, because he is love. And it's like, I love my children, but if they did something wrong, they got a punishment.
There are repercussions for your choices.
There are consequences for either good or bad.
Yes.
Okay, so there's decisions that need to be made. And why would he say in John 3:16,
for God so loved the world?
That he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him shall be saved.
Well, it goes on and says, shall not perish.
That's right.
That's that little phrase there that they like to leave off.
Yes.
So perish, let's just say being away from his presence is perishing.
Yes.
And nobody in this world is outside of his presence on any given day in any given moment. Does he manifest himself deeper or more obviously? Yes. But it's still his presence.
Yes.
He makes the sun shine on the righteous and the unrighteous.
And
he
the
makes
rain.
It rain. Righteous, unrighteous.
That's right.
Yes. So I feel like part of what I'm after is, let me just, run up a flag and flag people down to say, ask more questions. Where is this leading? Why would Jesus come and die if everybody gets in?
Exactly.
It makes no sense, either logically or spiritually.
Not only die, but go through a torturous death.
Yes.
If I know that I'm going to save everybody, mm-hmm. then why would I let them whip me the way they did until he was completely deformed?
Oh, yeah.
And his insides are hanging out. To have the crown of thorn put in his head, the pain to go through that, to be humiliated the way he did through it all, and then on top of that, mm-hmm. to be hung on the cross. Why would I go through all that if it's not needed?
Yes.
And I'm God Almighty, that I know everything. Why would I do that?
Yes. Well, and that phrase, I'm not God Almighty, there are people that will present, well, if I was God, I would. It's like, that's nonsense. You're not God. You're not even close, and you're never going to be that close. But what I understand is you're sensing how you've been made in his image and likeness, and you are, I'm going to say, affirming that part, by recognizing that you're different from every other creature that's been made on the planet. And he's, I'm going to say, made you in his image and likeness.
Exactly. And he breathed his spirit in us.
Yes.
Because we are a spirit, soul, and body. Yes. Without this spirit, we cannot be alive. So that spirit has a hunger for the Lord.
Absolutely.
Because it was separated. Mm-hmm. And it wants that. That desire is there to become one with the Father. We're just going around in circles in the wrong way. And as you said before, when people say, I am like God, that's why Satan lost his position in heaven, Lucifer.
Yes.
Because he wanted to be God.
He did. Yes.
And his pride and desire to be above God. So we need to be careful when we say that.
Very. Oh, yes. Yeah. It just goes back to being ignorant of certain things.
Exactly.
And not understanding. And that's what I'll say. When my kids were 3 years old, they would make statements.
Yes.
That in their anger, you know, I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right, whatever. You don't. You're just mad because you didn't get your way.
Yes, and you don't really mean it.
Yeah.
This is really amazing. I love it. I'm learning so much. Let's take a little break, and we shall be back and continue this conversation.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence, 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for Discipleship Encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided.
Are you 18 to 29 years old? If so, Launch Young Adult Ministries is a place you want to be. We meet every Sunday night at 6:30 in the Double Bubble at Lighthouse Christian Church, 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's fun and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you to where God wants you to be. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website, ourlighthouse.net, or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministries. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. I just know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. I just know Jesus is my God.
Love rock music? Love Jesus? If we got the place for you, join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. Venues located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Turn the Light On. I want to say thank you to all our sponsors. And personally, I want to say thank you because today my fence was actually put on by Hercules Fences. And Paul with Paradise Heat is done three on my AC. So
come on, Paul. Woo-woo.
Thank you guys for doing an amazing job. I am very grateful and thank you for having us in the radio. But this conversation has been amazing. So I'm going to just give it to Pastor Dave because I want to hear more about it. I am so interested on this. So go for it.
Okay. So historically, I thought one of the things that we are familiar with, a lot of us, I'll say that. So I'm going to speak more to believers, and if you were raised in the Catholic Church, Catholicism, or the Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox Church, so Orthodoxy, or even the Protestant Church, which would be Baptist, mm-hmm. Methodist, could even be Spirit-filled churches, Pentecostal churches. So we're familiar with the word creed, and there is a creed in the New Testament. Let me read it to you real quick. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says in verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And after that, he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After then, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time." So a creed is something that was given to the people in the first century, second century, third century to remember, because not everybody could read. Not everybody had scrolls to get their hands on, even if they could read, but it was a way of remembering the truths from the Word of God, and so they called them creeds. Well, in talking about Christian universalism, there is not a creed written or expressed in the church's history for 2,000 years that addresses universalism and everybody gets in. Okay. So I wanted to drive that point home. So here's the hope. The hope is we have a B-I-B-L-E, the Bible,
yes,
which is a book that tells us the truth. And John 16, starting in verse 13 through 15, it says that I need to leave, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but he'll speak that which I've given to him. So you can trust the Holy Spirit in leading you into the truth. When you read your Bible, ask questions, and he'll tell you the truth concerning universalism or anything else that's being taught.
That's amazing. Guys, we want to encourage you, pick up your Bible, read it, read it, read it. That's the most important thing. Be blessed. Amen. And have an amazing day.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Marylawn, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.